This was recorded at the Living Grace Sangha in Marin, California on the 19th of November 2019. All recorded materials are copyrighted by Miranda McPherson and any unauthorized duplication of these materials is strictly prohibited. For information about Miranda and her work, please visit www.mirandamcpherson.com.
Look at the mysterious ups and downs of our lives, the lives we have, and when we step back from what's happening, what's not happening, how we feel about what's happening or not happening, we see that there's a universal curriculum going on, a curriculum that we are all being put through in our humanity, that to my mind anyway is essentially a curriculum called wake up and love. Equal parts waking up, equal parts loving. Waking up out of fears and our separate sense of self and our reactivity and the driving forces of misperception and fear and doubt that make up our reactivity or keep it in place. Growing up, as well as waking up, growing up out of the places where we're not yet fully mature, where we're caught in some historically based pattern or reaction. It's all so that we can love, really. It's all so that we can be loved. It's all so that we can share love. It's really that love that makes us the beautiful human beings that we're designed to be. And that sounds so simple, doesn't it? Wake up and love. Very simple. And how challenging it can be in any given day. And many of you who I've spoken to let me know that there's some pretty big things going on in your life right now. In fact, I don't know a single person who hasn't been feeling it. And so I thought it would be useful tonight to give a teaching on how we can gracefully embrace our curriculum, the curriculum of our life, and what our life is presenting to us at this particular point on our path. So while the curriculum is a universal one, waking up out of fears, hurts, histories, reactivity, wounds, misperceptions, misunderstandings, it's also waking up into ever deeper understanding and clarity and depths of being that really bring us into a whole other universe, a parallel world that is so much more expansive and full of potential and possibility. And that awakening wants to manifest in our lives in every moment. As we're going about our ordinary business, as we're rising to the challenge of parenting, of working, of creating, of doing all sorts of ordinary things whilst learning to rest inwardly in that deeper ground that is never rocked and doesn't change. And we all know that there are days when that's easier than others. Inevitably, when the curriculum of our lives is flowing in ways that are more pleasing to us, it's easier sometimes. But sometimes when things are easy, we can take it for granted and just lose ourselves in the sense pleasures. Whereas really what's asked of us, if we're to become fully graceful human beings, is to let our abiding be continuous. Let our devotion, our loving of the truth, manifest as really staying close to ourself, to what's true inside, to staying open to the invitations that present themselves moment to moment. And if we stay present, we start to see those invitations, you know, within, for example, our work, when we're with a colleague, you know, when things aren't flowing as easily as we might want, or we're having some kind of computer glitch, it's easy to just get reactive, get frustrated, give up, right? Which is a kind of reaction, than it is to just breathe, stay in our body, be here, have patience, persevere with the task, but keep our equanimity. Sounds easy, it isn't easy. There are times when our relationships challenge us, where we hit one another's sore spots and emotions kind of fly around and misunderstanding happens, or we don't really listen to one another, or we misunderstand what one another is actually saying, misinterpret it according to our filters and our hurts and our history. And in those moments where we can feel ourselves getting triggered, how do we respond? Do we wiggle our toes? Do we sense our body? Do we just stay present with our immediate direct experience, being curious, being interested in what's really going on? Can we stay present enough to ask a question rather than lead with a presumption? So these are just a few examples of invitations that we have in and amidst the ordinariness of any given day. The curriculum that we're asked to work with and practice with. And it really starts by not rejecting our curriculum. Our ego is always saying, I don't like this, I want that. Like a fussy child. And of course, we're being asked to mature beyond just rejecting what we have and rearranging it and saying I don't like it and pushing and pulling. And if you've been on the path for a while, you know that that doesn't work anyway. Certainly all of the time that you've spent here at Sangha, that should be pretty apparent by now, that just saying no and saying I don't like this and wanting it to be different creates resistance, creates struggle, creates a fight with reality that you won't win. So it's wisdom to learn to get more proficient at saying yes to what is rather than no. So that includes saying yes to what is, even when our body is in pain. To lean in to the pain and listen to the invitation that pain, even physical pain, contains. At the deepest level, physical pain is information, isn't it? Inflammation often, but information. It's a message from our body that may be asking us to respond in some new way. It may be asking us to let something go, to learn to relax something that is overly bound and contracted, or it may be asking us to open in some new way to something that would be truly helpful in allowing the relinquishment of unnecessary suffering. We see this also on an emotional level. Nobody wants to have a fight with a friend, come into conflict with someone who's important to you. It's painful when we don't understand one another, or we don't listen very well, or we lead with presumptions about what we think is happening and don't check them or ask enough questions. It's painful when we experience being misunderstood. It's painful when what we say or do is a little clunky and it's pointed out to us that that has had a difficult effect on someone else. So what is the invitation there? Mostly, it's self-forgiveness. When we receive feedback from life, from others, that our actions have been less than beautiful or graceful, there's usually an invitation to see something. There's an invitation to learn something. And to learn something, we have to be able to look upon ourselves without condemnation. And so I was taking this passage from A Course in Miracles today that I read to you, and really what the lesson from which this passage I was sharing came from was lesson, all things are lessons God would have me learn. And to summarize it, it was really saying that if there's deep suffering, if there's resistance, if there's stagnation in any way, if there is unnecessary bondage, the lesson of forgiveness hasn't quite been learned. And so the invitation within that lesson was to say, forgive yourself and the suffering will disappear. Forgive yourself. So often we hear the word forgiveness and we think of it as forgiving someone who has done something bad to us that they shouldn't have done and being spiritually noble enough to rise above it. But that's what I call phony forgiveness. When we really understand non-duality, we understand deeply that what we're really forgiving is our own mind, our own misperception, our own lack of understanding, our own distortions, our own presumptions. These are the things that create unnecessary suffering and perpetration of suffering on an interpersonal level, as well as keeping us in a prison of our own mind, a prison often of presumption. So as we open joyfully to the invitation to forgive something, to forgive a particular way in which we stumble or have stumbled, to forgive some shortcoming that we have, to accept that we have shortcomings, to open to our own innocence and be what it calls a happy learner. I love that term, a happy learner. And so what it really means by that definition, a happy learner, is somebody who is really willing to receive correction. But of course the correction doesn't come from our ego or anyone else's egos. The true corrector is the mystery of grace itself, the presence of the divine, that looking at it from a Kabbalistic perspective, they call it the inner teacher, that guides us from within, that's nudging us to open into the invitations that life contains. And that usually means either letting go of some position in our mind, letting go of some rigid belief, letting go of some resistance, letting go of some identification. Or it also means accepting something new, accepting a new possibility, accepting at one ment, It's interesting, that word that's often used in classical Western traditions, it's usually pronounced atonement, and so it has a multi-dimensional meaning that I think is really profound to understand. Atonement really means, it's speaking of a correction, a course correction. But obviously it's also at-one-ment, so it's bringing the splits in our mind, the fragmented parts, back into unity, back into wholeness, back into God consciousness, in which we recognize our fundamental innocence and the fundamental innocence and wholeness of everything and everyone. In the same way that a child who is bumbling around and making mistakes or falling over or getting into mischief is fundamentally innocent. Right? It may need course corrections, but it's fundamentally innocent in its being. And so the grace that helps us to take a look at where we have resistance, where we aren't fully as mature as we might like to be, where we get reactive, where we are resistant, where we forget to practice, where we are saying no instead of yes. All these are places that we want to see and allow the grace of forgiveness to touch, so that we can take a closer look without condemnation at ourself, at what really drives our no to the invitations that our life is bringing. Because if we can relax our condemnation about the fact that resistance arises, then we can more honestly look at our lives as they are, rather than looking at them from a perspective of what we might like them to be, to look at ourselves exactly as we are, warts and all, and to open in the places where we really need to open, to open into those places where we might be a little bit of a slow learner or a resistant learner. We might not quite be showing up with the openness to the invitations that anything in our life can bring. So that's really how grace moves sometimes. It can look like, wow, we're going through a tough patch, or it can look like life is pretty relentless right now. But when we surrender into what is, we yield to what is, we trust that there's nothing but grace ultimately, and therefore that what's moving in our life, even if it's presenting itself as some difficulty, is an invitation, then there's a way to be grown by the forces of our life as they are, and to allow our life to become richer because of what's here, even difficult forces. So last time we were together, some of us were here, we were talking, and I was very touched by what some of you were sharing about how it was for you in that week of the power outages, and how open some of you were to the gift in, you know, what is definitely inconvenience, right? And so if we can take that attitude, if we can take that posture with other things in our life too, then nothing really needs to be that much of an interference. We can be flexible with what's happening and responsive to it and open to the gifts within it, and just move with the forces of our life in a way that is transformative and lovely, and possibly even the things that will grow us the most. One of my earlier teachers said to me, at a time in my life when I was going through pretty severe pain in my body that I was having a hard time getting under control, it struck me what he said, which was that There's nothing like working with your limitations that humanizes you the most. Mm-hmm. It was such a simple, direct line, but it went very deep into me, and I could really feel its truth. That as we learn to open even into the things that are quite challenging for us, and obviously that comes very personally in different ways. For some of us, it's more challenging for us to be present and open, receptive, surrendered, flexible, non-defensive in the terrain of our personal relationships. For some of us, it's harder at our work and with money and practical things. For some of us, our reactivity shows up in other areas. But learning to mature spiritually means taking a look at those places where we tend to, in the words of Hafiz, throw spitballs in God's classroom. I love that. He says, we're all in God's classroom. Now we just have to learn to stop throwing spitballs for a while. So where are you throwing spitballs in the classroom of your life? Where is your consciousness, your attitude, less than open? Where are you perceiving things as going wrong rather than what's happening as an invitation to awaken you, deepen you, season you, love you, move your life into deeper fluidity and beauty and freedom? And in that spot where there's resistance, what really needs your forgiveness? That will be our inquiry tonight, and I know that that's quite a direct challenge, but that was the guidance that was coming to me tonight, was to give you some support to really work more deeply into your personalized version of this universal curriculum and see where you are and see where your resistance is, where there's a stubborn holding on or hiding out, and see if we can learn to say yes and listen to the invitations, yield to them, hear them, open to them, rather than no. So I have an inquiry for us. So a double repeating question. Tell me something appearing within the curriculum of your life that you are resisting. So take a look. See what you find. See where those calluses are. See where the stubbornness is. See where the shutting down is. See where the forgetfulness is. See where the reactivity is at this point. Right? What drives your no? What drives it? There are a lot of things that could be driving it. There could be some fear, some hope that if you don't resist it, that things would be different. There could be some history, some belief, some anger, some felt sense of unworthiness. Just see what you find. There's a lot of possibilities. So we'll do 10 minutes with those two questions, then we'll switch, and then after the we've all had a go, we'll work with the looping. It's a double repeating question with the looping. What's it like right now if you say yes to the divine invitations within your life, followed by what supports you living into this yes? and then we'll switch. The other person goes. So those two questions, and the other person goes. So just a simple reminder, please don't commentate on anyone else's inquiry. Very, very important. Just give them the inquiry questions and space. Do not say anything about their inquiry or what they say whatsoever. That usually does not go very well for the other person. So find a partner and let's begin. I'll lead you into a simple meditation before we launch.